You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Elm Park Roars Preview Podcast. I'm Matt Williamson and I am joined as always by Matt Joy. How are you doing, Matt?
Very well, thank you, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I mean, it's been a bit of a mixed week when it comes to Reading.
Yeah, certainly peaks and troughs throughout this week. I think it's safe to say since the last time we sat down and recorded together, there's been some good moments and there's been some less than good moments. I can pick out a few of those from Tuesday night, and I'm sure you could as well. But after last night's news, a touch more positivity around the place, and I'm sure we'll get onto that. But I think that actually could prove to be even better than perhaps it appears on first glance.
Yeah, I mean, let's start at the beginning. So obviously, a nice, easy 2-1 win versus Preston last week. There's not really too much to say about it that hasn't already been said, but I think everyone felt a bit happier after that.
Yeah, I think it was, if it wasn't the second game of the season, it would probably be one that had been forgotten about within, if that was in a congested period of six games within the space of 3 weeks or whatever, I think that one might be forgotten about. It wasn't the most exciting game, but Femi Azeez obviously got his first senior goal and then quickly followed that up against Bristol City. And there were some bright moments. John Swift had another fantastic game, scored the winner and, you know, ran the show from the midfield. He looks like he's on fine form this season so far. But then obviously we had the news with Lucas Joao is probably the main takeaway from that, if you take away the result. And obviously his lengthy injury.
Yeah, I mean, Lucas Joao is just Lucas Joao. You kind of know what you're going to get from him, both on and off the field, unfortunately. And that meant that on Tuesday night, Puskas started up top. Again, a lot been said about him. We don't need to focus on him too much, but it wasn't a great result in the end.
No, I thought Puskas in the first half, I thought he was actually relatively decent. There was a few touches where he would, you know, get the ball back to goal, but instead of maybe trying to take a touch and out-muscle it, you know, a bigger centre-half, he was quickly pinging the ball out wide and a few nice little tricks and flicks. And that at that point, I thought, okay, there's, you know, he does at least know what he's doing. I didn't think he had any support from the midfield, especially in the first half. I think him and Azeez were very isolated. But then I think after the break, yeah, his influence waned quite considerably, quite quickly. And I think, but for Liam Moore's late goal, I'm a massive Liam Moore fan. I think he's, you know, exemplified a lot of what's been good about the club in recent years in a turbulent time. But I thought it was probably one of his worst displays. He seemed rash. You know, there'd be moments when I said to a couple of the guys in the press box, I just felt that the ball would be a couple of yards away from him, and he would have, you know, plenty of space. But he would run to the ball, take a heavy touch, and then it would be under pressure again. I just thought he just needed to be, there was no calm, there was no organisation, and we saw that with some of the goals. I mean, it just was so, not petulant, because, you know, we weren't giving away too many fouls. It was just, there was an urgency, but not in a good way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, especially in that first 15 minutes, it felt like we just never got our bearings and sort of failed to come back from that point, really. Paunovic did mention in his post-match comments about Puskás' injury last season, and, you know, he had a coronavirus layoff in pre-season. Do we think that maybe he's just not back to being fully fit yet?
I think you have to kind of balance it. You do have to acknowledge that, but at the same time, he's not the only player in the Championship who's had injuries, who's had, you know, disrupted summer periods. You know, there's players who've been coming. Look at Liam Moore, he's just come back from the Gold Cup, for example. He has had to, you know, go through a fair amount in the last year, but I think I'm personally now at the point where, you know, he was a lot of money, and there's only so long you can say, well, you know, he scored a goal 5 games ago, so we, you know, it could be there. We could be back to the... I think he needs to step it up massively, because I think he's at risk now of a fair few fans turning on him. And I don't think he deserves to get, you know, abuse or anything like that. But I think the criticism is becoming more justified. Whether it's entirely his fault, I think we play a system that doesn't necessarily suit his game in a way that it does other strikers. But I wouldn't say I'm losing, you know, patience with him, but I am getting to the point where I'm thinking, right, you need to offer more. You know, the financial outlay that we, excuse me, that we, you know, we gave, we've not had a return for that value at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it is obviously difficult to try to take things in isolation with any player. But as you say, I thought he played okay on Tuesday. Like, I don't think he was really the problem. And I had another point and I've completely forgotten it. So we'll just move on.
I could fill it in with one more quick point about that. Just on the, you know, the lack of depth that's been talked about, and the lack of, you know, if you get a couple of injuries, it could all look a bit pear-shaped. The one thing last year, it was that solid quartet of Rinomota, Lauren, Moore and Morrison. And they were the four that normally were the guaranteed starters, but they were normally, you know, the first four names on the team sheet, because they were the players who, their fitness last year was good, and, you know, they were the ones that Paunovic relied on. I think that's probably been the weakest area of our team so far this season. I think Rinomota and Lauren have not done, they've not been awful, but they've not had the influence on games in, you know, closing down the play in the midfield. And Moore and Morrison, they were decent against Preston, but in the other two games, I've been, the cup team is obviously a bit different, but no, the other two league games, I think just our whole defensive unit has been really, really poor.
I remember what I was going to say. It was about Puskás and his injury last season, I think, really hurt the perception that fans have of him, because obviously, I think if he'd backed up his first season where, okay, people were still unhappy, but he managed to bag 13 goals. If he'd backed that up with, say, another 10, 15 as like a backup striker, maybe 10 as a backup striker, then people would be, you know, giving him a lot more leeway at this point. But unfortunately, like, he lost half the season and then never looked fit.
You just look at, you know, Yaku Mate, his fitness record isn't the best at the club, but when he is fit and he gets a run of games, normally goals will come. So I think that kind of just proves your point that, you know, Reading fans won't turn unnecessarily if you do have injury problems, but you have to make your mark in the games that you do play.
Yeah, absolutely. And as for Morrison, Moore, and the kind of square that with them and Rinomota and Lauren, do you think that maybe we'll, and we saw this actually in Bristol City, we started as a back five and very quickly shifted to a back four so that that kind of block was back in place. Do we think we'll likely see a four this weekend as well?
I think you'd probably start off with a four, but I wouldn't like to see, excuse me if you hear banging, by the way, we've got some builders next door. I wouldn't like to see the formation getting changed early on, you know, regularly, because that shows that you've made a mistake in your lineup. Because you'll work on a game plan, and that will be with having a back four or a back five, whatever it may be. To change that so quickly show that it wasn't working. So you've got to look at, with the players available, I think the back four is certainly the best option. And I think it's just a case of you've got to drill it. You've got to get it better. It's, yeah, you're professional footballers. There's no, I would say there's no excuse. You know, everyone has off days, but you're not going to forget how to defend overnight. You know, Liam Moore and Morrison aren't going to forget how to be a good partnership overnight. They need to work on whatever it may be. That's what they're paid to do.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that did come out of the press conference again after Bristol City was about John O'Shea, and it did sound like he had influence in the set pieces last season. I mean, it seems crazy that just losing John O'Shea would cause such an effect this early. Like, just tell them to do the same thing they were doing last year. But do we think it's had an effect?
Well, Panovic said, you know, he's a fantastic asset. And I have to say, actually, I asked, you know, for questions on Twitter and said, has anyone got anything you want me to pop to the manager? Someone actually mentioned John O'Shea. It wasn't in my thoughts at the time. And I thought, you know what, that is a brilliant, brilliant question. So I can't remember who the guy who tweeted in, but whoever it was, thank you. That was a brilliant, brilliant question. And I think, yeah, it does have a big influence because, you know, John O'Shea had a fantastic playing career. At the end of his career, you could say that he didn't have the legs and he didn't have maybe the athleticism, but you don't forget how to, you know, organise a defence, where you want to be in terms of a positional sense, when you want to attack a ball, leave it, how you want to double up on players, maybe all of that sort of stuff. That's, you pick up through experience. That's why, you know, some of the best centre halves in the world are normally over the age of 30, because they have that nous, have that wherewithal. And to lose that, it's only one man, and by no means, as I said, are these guys incapable of playing football all of a sudden. But yeah, having that in your corner, you'd rather have it than not. So I think there's no doubt that it had some form of impact, yeah.
And as you touched on at the beginning of the podcast, we've now signed yet another player. That's two in one week, really. Mm. This was talked about during the summer, Junior Hoyler, and nothing ever came of it. Is that just because he was at the Gold Cup and this has been in the pipeline for a while?
It's been in the pipeline for a while. It's not just because he was at the Gold Cup. It's my understanding that Reading got the green light on loan deals before they got the green light on free transfers and, you know, short-term contracts, purely because there's no signing on fees. You can make an agreement with another club, as Reading did with Watford, and it's an easier one to get over the line. I understand that over the last kind of couple of weeks, Reading have just been trying to get those details in terms of being able to bring in, free signings. I don't know whether there's a wage cap. I'm not sure off the top of my head. It's all sort of happened quite quickly. I've spoken to people that I'm very confident that that was the case. And the fact that we have now been able to get that over the line shows that hopefully there's two avenues now that Reading can look into, is free agents and loan moves. That might also be why we haven't seen other moves materialise as of this point. Well, it is. And, you know, you look back to Kadeem Harris, he was, the club said they were very keen on him, but at that point, he obviously, as a free agent, they couldn't make that move straight away. So, you know, with Kadeem Harris, we said that his trial had ended. It had, because, you know, at that point, the club weren't in a position and, you know, other clubs were and probably still are interested. But if nothing materialises now, Reading can do this. And if the finances allow, we might see a 180, as I said a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. It might be that Reading go back because they were certainly interested. So it could be an interesting few weeks. And I think it's a sensible signing. Experience brings in, you know, some extra legs. I don't think he's going to be player of the season. I don't think he's going to, you know, be the first name of the team sheet. But, you know, Hoylett is a proven championship player. He's got a lot of games under his belt, and I think he'll be a sensible and, you know, worthwhile addition.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect Ovi to still be the first choice on that left wing, but it's nice to just have options there. And now if Swift gets injured, it's easier to move Ovi into the centre, which is presumably what will happen. And Hoyler, or by the looks of it, TDB can cover there.
Yeah, and that's one thing we didn't cover is TDB. I do enjoy calling him that, by the way. I hope no one takes offence to that, because I think it rolls off the tongue really nicely. But I thought he was brilliant on them. Well, yeah, brilliant. I say brilliant. He didn't go and get two goals and an assist. But, you know, I thought he was a very good debut from him against Bristol City. I thought he was sharp, he was nimble, he got out of tight spaces well, he was keen to run at players. His last touch sometimes let him down. He would try and take it around someone, it'd be a bit of a heavy touch and all that. But he's, you know, clearly keen to impress, and I think good things are certainly coming.
Yeah, I think the kind of, he seems to be on a similar wavelength to John Swift. I'm not sure anyone is on the same wavelength, but like his kind of, he looks to give and go, and he looks for those kind of passes that, yeah, you know, when and players are making runs. So a positive start, at least.
Yeah, and he does, I think, also what Yakimete does. And I think what makes Yakimete such a popular player with Reading fans is because he's on the pitch, he does take, you know, men on. He does drive at men down the wing. Sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes you think, oh my word, that's probably wasn't the best idea. But sometimes it pays dividends, and you know, you want that in a player. I think no one would necessarily, I think, you know, it's very simplistic just to say you always want, you know, your team to run forward and pass forward and you can't go backwards and all that. But in terms of having, you know, fans back in the ground, if you've got the option of taking on a man or popping it back to, you know, Rinomota in the centre circle, you know, fans are going to want to see players who want to take the initiative and you know, try and create openings. So I think he's certainly, at this point, looks like a good addition to the squad.
And coming on to this weekend's game, obviously Bristow started against Bristol City and then the formation change pushed him to left wing quite quickly. Are we expecting one of TDB or, I mean, Hoylett seems like it would be, you know, pushing it to say that he's going to start at the weekend, but presumably somebody else is going to be playing on that left wing other than Bristow.
I think if I had to put money on it, I'd probably go TDB at this point because, you know, he made a decent impression off the bench. He's clearly got the fitness. I think he could give an hour. I think Junior Hoylett will just, it's too early for him. He is eligible, but it's very rare you see someone coming in a couple of days before a game and, you know, being thrown straight into the deep end. I expect him to probably be on the bench. Reading don't exactly have huge amounts of strength in depth at the moment fit and available, so I think he is eligible, and I wouldn't surprise me at all to see him make a 20-25 minute cameo off the bench. As you said, he's been at the Gold Cup, so he's, you know, not short of fitness, he's not had a long summer, so yeah, I think we'll see something from him. But I would say probably TDB. I would, if I was picking a team, I'd start him in that position.
I mean, rather jump the gun here with that question, but is Ovi still unavailable for this weekend?
Yes, yeah, he is self-isolating at this point. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure on the maths in terms of next weekend. I'll have to double-check that with Pavlovic tomorrow. I sort of put we asked the question, I was like, and we weren't exactly 100% when the notification came in. So it may be a case it's just this weekend, but, you know, more importantly than him getting back to on the pitches, more important they just get back to, you know, full health and all that. So I personally, you know, wish him all the best, and hopefully he's back doing what he can do best sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and potentially there are obviously knock-on effects with testing positive. Maybe that does set him back in fitness. He didn't, you know, he's been out for a while now, hasn't he?
Exactly. And I think, you know, it depends on his symptoms, if he's, and, you know, his facilities, where he currently is. If he's at home, he's got some gym equipment and he can get on a treadmill with relative ease, he may well be doing. I wouldn't be able to answer
that. Or he could be in bed with some soup. I mean, we really don't know.
He could have some, yeah, chicken soup and an episode of The Sopranos on, something like that.
And the other one, we didn't really touch on this either, but Tom McIntyre, obviously, he probably didn't have the best game on Tuesday night, and he didn't have the best game at Stoke either. Are we still expecting him to be first choice left back? I keep saying, are you expecting?
Am I expecting it? I would say so. I think he's, you know, he's one for the future. They've tied him down on a contract over this summer, and, you know, he was one of the first ones to do so. He wants to be it. He's clearly improving. He's still at the early. It feels like he's been around, I think, a lot longer than he actually has in terms of, you know, his first team influence. It's only been, what, two seasons, perhaps? I remember chatting to him after the FA Cup win against Blackpool, which I think was last January. And I think at that point, that was, it felt like, I remember thinking, oh, he's just, you know, he's just coming through. This is, you know, exciting. So that was only, what, 18 months ago, maybe a couple more. But yeah, I mean, he's still an emerging player. I think in a couple of years, it'll be, we'll probably see more consistency than we've seen so far this year. But for the sake of two games, I think you can lay them off, certainly.
And finally, what is your score prediction going to be?
I think Renan will win. I think somewhere one sort of footballing god is deliberately giving Reading all the bad news at once, so all the social media reaction goes incredibly negative, and then everything seems to be all right again, which seems to be the way in football. So, you know, you pick up the win as we did against Preston, and it was, things seemed a lot rosier. You know, you lose against Bristol, we get a new signing in. So I think now we're on the good swing, and I'll go for a narrow 1-0 win.
I've already recorded the bit after this, and I think in that, it's very difficult to remember what I said, but I think I went for a 2-1 loss. I should do what the Barnsley guy did.
It's quite rare that we're completely at the opposite end of the scale. So, I mean, I think I am basing this more on heart than head, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it for some reason. So I expect my hopes may well be dashed come quarter past three when we've conceded from a corner, but we shall see.
Well, the novelty of being back at football hasn't quite worn off. So, like, even a 2-1 loss, I'd probably enjoy it, I guess.
To be honest, I could go on about this for a while, but I said to my housemate when I got back on after the Stoke game, you know, despite the result and even losing in the 85th minute, I just had a great day because it was a great atmosphere. It just felt like, you know, I was driving up the motorway looking forward to going there, not just thinking I'm just going to go and watch essentially a glorified training session. So, yeah, I think that's probably a bit of it as well. It's just that you've got those old kind of just the excitement's back, and maybe that's clouding my judgment.
Yeah, we'll see if you still feel that way after a 1-0 loss at Huddersfield next week, and you've got a 4 or 5 hour journey back.
Yeah, no, maybe that's a fair point. Maybe that's a fair point.
I doubt there'll be as many Reading fans going to that one either, but you never know.
Yeah, no, again, probably a fair point there.
But anyway, thanks very much as always, Matt. I hope your trip up to the Rico, or I think it's called something else now, but whatever it is called, I hope it goes swimmingly.
And Thank you, mate.
Maybe we'll have 3 points.
I
guess you've got to be positive. But anyway, next up, we talk to Tom from Sky Blues Extra.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm here with Tom from the Sky Blues Extra podcast. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. Good to be on.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Coventry have started the season relatively well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's been a decent start. Two wins out of three, so can't complain too much. Probably should have got a little bit more against Barnsley away as well. So, yeah, can't complain too much really so far.
Yeah, I mean, Barnsley are a bit of an unknown quantity this season, aren't they? So I saw Luton beat them the other night, but I mean, who knows what's going to happen at Oakwell. Given that you kind of came up, you solidified last season, what's your target for this year?
Yeah, I think it's probably relatively similar to last year. I think the primary target, obviously, is to stay in the division. You know, first and foremost, that's got to be the main aim. But I think probably, I think most Cof fans are looking a little bit higher than that now. So I think we finished 16th in the end last season, 55 points. Obviously, that's pretty solid. Obviously, had a strong end to the season. So I think if we had that or an improvement on that, I think we'd all be pretty happy, to be honest. I think we're just enjoying the ride and obviously being back in the ground. It almost feels like it's our first season in the Championship because we weren't there last year. So I think, yeah, just staying in the division would be great. If we can finish mid-table, even better. I think a top half finish isn't out of question, to be honest, as well, especially with the start we've made. So yeah, I think we're just enjoying the ride really at the moment.
I think it's so hard to know, much like Barnsley, like a lot of the teams this year are just sort of could be anywhere between like playoffs or top half to relegation candidates, much like Reading. But we're, you know, I'll try and stay positive. So your summer was actually relatively interesting from a championship point of view. You brought in some loanees, I'm not even going to say Victor's last name because I'll get it completely wrong, but you brought Victor back. Do you feel like you've got a stronger squad than you did last year?
Yeah, I'd say so overall. I think it was one of those where we made a few signings and, you know, as like with most clubs, probably fans are always a little bit sceptical about players coming in. But, you know, the sort of, you know, the markets that we're fishing in aren't, you know, we're not spending millions and millions on players. Well, I don't think anyone is this summer, to be honest. So they're always going to be slightly unknown quantities. I think, but for the business we've done, I've been pretty impressed. We got Simon Moore in goal, who's been like a bit of an understudy most of his career. He's been unbelievable the first three games. Everyone's buzzing about him and definitely improvement on what we had. Victor is, and we say, I say Jokeres, but every Koff fan probably pronounces his name slightly differently. So you're not the only one who's struggling with that one. Yeah, he's one that we had on loan as a striker last season from Brighton and managed to get him on a permanent. He's, again, really impressed so far. So, and then there's a few that we're not sure about yet. So we signed Martin Waghorn, who, you know, obviously got tons of experience and pedigree at the level, but probably he's coming towards the end of his career. Hasn't maybe impressed so far as much as we thought he might do. And there's other ones like Bright and Abikari, who we had on loan a few years ago, who was class when we had him on loan. And again, he's not fully fit yet. So I'd say probably there's probably two or three who've like really impressed so far. And then there's probably a couple of others who haven't quite sort of come to the table yet. But I think overall, we're pretty happy with the business we've done in the summer, yeah.
Yeah, Enner Bakari is one of those that I've signed in on FM a few times, and he always does the business for me. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing him properly, even if it's not this weekend.
Yeah, he's probably easier to manage on FM than he is in real life. So,
yeah, well, let's not go into that. And then one of the names that you did sign on loan from Chelsea, Ian Mattson, he was linked to us over summer. So what's he been like? Or I'm not sure if he was actually linked, but people wanted him here anyway.
Yeah, no, he's been impressive. Obviously, he had a full season at Charlton last year and really impressed. I always think when you see, you know, fans of another club sort of begging for a loan player to come back and they're all gutted he's left, it's usually a good sign. And obviously only three games in, but yeah, he's been really impressive. First game, was a bit wobbly, really. But the last two games, he's looked really solid. And it was, you know, a difficult position to fill because we've had Sam McCallum for the last two or three years, who's been class for us. But no, I've been really impressed with Mattson. He's not the biggest player, but, you know, playing out on the wing, he doesn't need to be really. So, no, he looks good. And yeah, he's definitely a dangerous threat down the left with some of the balls he's been putting in.
So how have you guys been lining up? Like, I'm pretty sure you're still playing 3/5 at the back. Is it a similar system to last year?
Yeah, pretty much similar. Yeah, stuck to it with the three at the back and the wing backs. Obviously, you've got Mattson on one side, you've got Dabo on the other, both really good wing backs. And then it just sort of varies whether we play one or two up front, really. We play a box midfield anyway, whatever happens. And then, yeah, it just depends if that switches to an additional striker, or against Blackpool in the week, we had, Victor up front on his own, but with Jamie Allen kind of just behind him. So that's sort of how we set up. And yeah, it seems to work pretty well, to be honest. We play some nice intricate football. So yeah.
Are you confident going into this weekend's game, given that, you know, Reading have conceded a lot of goals and you've been pretty decent so far?
Yeah, I'm fairly confident. I think it's a really hard one to predict. I probably say that every week on our podcast, but with every team we play. But no, I think, you know, we do feel quite confident. Obviously, when you go away from home and win 1-0 in the week, you're always going to feel pretty up for it. You know, there'll be a decent crowd there. The fans are in a pretty positive mood, so the atmosphere will be pretty good. So lots of things, like, you know, to lead towards it being a positive result. But you just never really know with us. What's going to happen? Obviously, home form has been pretty good over the last couple of years, but then we've just obviously moved back to the Rico. So it's a hard one to call, but yeah, I mean, there's no reason why we won't be looking for a positive result for sure.
Yeah, I completely forgot to mention the Rico. Like, surely it's just nice to be back there.
Yeah, it's so good to be back. Yeah, I mean, the first game against Forest was just unbelievable. Great atmosphere. So good to be back. You know, seeing the same old faces from, you know, that you haven't seen for a while. I mean, just being back at football in general, obviously, but then also being back in your own city, it's just obviously a double whammy. So, and the match day experience has got a lot better there now. They've just built like a sky blue tavern in the city centre with like tons of like memorabilia and stuff in it. So there's things like that that are just making it feel even more special to be back. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to be commuting to Birmingham. Like,
no, not really.
No, like inside or outside of football, it's just, I went to uni there. Yeah, let's not talk about it. Anyway, but so the other player that we haven't actually mentioned yet, last season, a bit of a revelation, Gustavo Hamer. Has he kept up that form?
Yeah, he has. I mean, interestingly, his form dipped a little bit actually towards the end of last season, probably after Christmas it dipped a bit. And I suppose no one really knew why in particular. There was various reasons people put forward. You know, was there interest in January that sort of distracted him a little bit? Was it him settling over here, obviously with like being locked down for a lot of it as well? Did that affect him and his family? So there was, you know, no crowd. Is he a player who thrives off there being a crowd inside the ground? So his form dipped off a little bit, but I have to say the start of this season, he's been back to his best. He really has. He's been really bossing every game we've played in. So, and maybe he does thrive off the crowd a little bit. You know, it must be so difficult. Some of that, especially, you know, games like Tuesday, if that was last year and you're going away to Blackpool and there's no crowd in there, it's, you know, it can be tough. But I think he's one of those players, he's thriving off the crowd. They absolutely love him. So he's a good player. He's definitely one for you chaps to watch out for on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he does seem like a fiery character. Like, he would be, he does need that kind of outside atmosphere to get himself going a bit.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're right. He's definitely a fiery character. He'll probably get booked on Saturday. It's no surprise, really. He'll probably clatter into someone at some point. That's what he's like. But he's a really good player. His passing ability and his range is unbelievable. His dead ball play is class. His tackling as well. Like, one thing I at Barnsley away, I was like, was surprised by is how good his tackling is. You know, he'll just from behind just dig out the ball somehow. And you're like, how on earth have you done that? So now he's a very gifted player. Definitely one to watch out for.
And then another kind of Reading link is Dominic Higham in the centre of defence. He's played every minute so far, as have about 8 or 9 of your players. How's he doing for you? Like, I know that he's been an ever-present almost ever since he's joined you, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's one of those who, you know, he's one of those players whose first name on the team sheet every week. It's funny, this might sound strange, but you almost forget he's playing in the sense that he'll do everything right and he'll give a 7 or 8 out of 10 performance every week. So he's, you know, we don't talk about him on the pod because he's not, it's just what you expect from him. It's never a surprise when he has a great game. He rarely makes a mistake. He's just one of those players who's just always in the side. So, very, very solid. Very, very solid centre-half. And just has really established himself, actually. So I think we got him, what, about 3 or 4 years ago? And he was initially signed to play in our... Because our model, as well as the academy, is to sign players when they're young, get them in the under-23s, and then, obviously, you know, some will make it, some won't. He was one of those who just broke in really quickly to the first team, way earlier than any of us thought. And literally since that day, which would have been when we were in League Two as well, I think, possibly League One, he's hardly missed a game since then. So really established in our defence, and yeah, he's a really key player, and he's becoming more of a leader in our team as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to hear, you know, academy guys, even if they don't make it at your club, go somewhere else and do really well. So always nice to hear that. I guess the kind of final couple of questions, like, what kind of game are you expecting on Saturday? Are you expecting cagey or more open?
It's a tough question. I mean, I'd say it's probably going to be more open. I mean, I think we'll, you know, I expect us to come out of the blocks early, to be honest with you. I mean, we have done in all our games so far, and, you know, confidence will be up. So, yeah, I don't think, yeah, I think it'll be a case of us coming out of the blocks early and kind of going for it. So, could be quite an open game, I would imagine. I don't see too many reasons why it would be too cagey. So, yeah, but as I said, it's always a hard one to call. You know, if we turn up, then I can, you know, I can see us hopefully getting the win. But, yeah, you just never know with Kov.
Yeah, well, likewise. And I guess, what is your prediction then, like, in terms of a scoreline?
I'll be positive. I'll go for a 2-0 win, 2-0 home win.
See, that's probably not a bad prediction, to be honest. I'd like to think that we'll score. I'll go for a 2-1 Coventry win. You've got to be realistic about these things, don't you? I mean, we haven't played that well. Especially given that you look like you keep all the ball. So that won't be fun for us.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, we do keep the ball really well. So yeah, that's going to be a challenge for you lot.
Well, thanks very much, Tom or Wardy. I'll use both names this time. hopefully the game on Saturday is at least a good one with all the fans back. Maybe we'll sneak a win. Maybe. Thanks very much, Ben.
No, cheers, having me on.